five hosts, four divisions, all battling it out for the Holy Grail of the American Hockey League, the Calder Cup. This is the Holy Grail Podcast. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Paul, Zach Power, Andrew Rinaldi, Corey Swartz, and Dina Weinheimer.
Hello, hello, hello once again, and welcome to episode 47 of Field Pass Hockey's American Hockey League podcast, The Holy Grail. Today is December 22nd, if you're listening to this on the day that this is dropping, and we are here to give you a recap of the last, well, this week, it's going to be the last calendar year in American Hockey League action. But, you know, in today's show, we are going to cover just a little bit of news, and then we're just going to have a little bit of fun as we look back into the year it was. If you're watching on YouTube, you kind of see I'm in Chili's. If you're an Office fan, you know what that means. Yes, we have our own take on the Dundies with the Grailies. More on that here in a little bit. But first, our introductory question. So, Andrew, Corey, if you could get any hockey-related gift for the holidays this year, what is at the top of your list?
Well, so I'm Andrew Rinaldi. I'm the beat writer for the Chicago Wolves and Grand Rapids Griffins here on the Holy Grail. And, man, my first thought goes to a couple of Stanley Cup Finals tickets. I saw what they were going for over at over in Colorado, and I was planning on an impromptu visit, and it's a little bit out of my price range. So if Santa could come up with a couple of those, I'd be pretty happy, and my wallet would be very happy too.
Yeah, so I'm Corey Swartz. I'm the beat writer for the Hershey Bears here, and I have to go that this is a recency bias because we're recording this on December 20th. Yesterday was the 19th, and I wanted Nathan Walker's St. Louis Blues jersey, all right? I ordered the next best thing with a shirt Z, but I have to go with my boy. He scored a goal, first of the season yesterday in the Blues win, so I got to give a shout out to him. But more importantly for it, it has to be an Adidas jersey for it. I will not take any of the Fanatics stuff. It looks poor in person, in my opinion. If you have one and you like it, that's totally fine. But it's just, I've seen those in stores, and I've seen the Adidas ones in person. It's just, it's no question. They're expensive, don't get me wrong, more expensive than, you know, and the trade-off is a little bit more than the old Reebok replica ones used to be. But it would have to be one of those ones. I don't think I could settle for a Fanatics one.
And I'm Dina Weinheimer. I'm one of the managing editors and, I guess, AHL correspondent here at Field Pass Hockey. And I'm kind of going to follow up with what Corey said about a jersey, but literally any AHL jersey. I do not have any in my collection yet. Mine are all NHL jerseys. So I'd like to get that collection going. So Santa, if you're listening, just literally any jersey would be fine by me. Okay, we're going to go ahead and kind of look into our weekly news recap. And we have a trade to talk about.
Not just any trade, but a three-way trade. So the Florida Panthers, Anaheim Ducks, and Detroit Red Wings were a little busy right before the holiday season, kind of getting their last-minute shopping in with a couple players going a couple different directions. So we'll start Giovanni Smith, the big bruising forward down there for the Griffins all year. He's been shipped off into to Florida. Going over to the West Coast in Anaheim is Charlotte Checkers defenseman Michael Delzato. And then over in Detroit, Danny O'Regan is coming from the San Diego Gulls to go join the Griffins there. So, yeah, if you heard a lot of those names, a lot of familiar with fans here in the AHL, probably not going to be a whole lot of NHL time with some of these guys. Maybe MDZ gets some time up there in Anaheim because, I mean, they nearly kind of need some help there. But, yeah, I guess just a couple names shifting along, couple roster changes again right before the holiday freeze, and it's a little bittersweet for a guy covering the Griffins to see Giovanni Smith go. I mean, he brought, especially when you watch on Wednesday, Red Wings fans got to saw their entire team just get bullied by big old Ryan Reeves in the Minnesota Wild. But, you know, Giovanni was a guy who had ample opportunities to kind of crack into the Wings lineup, and it just he couldn't find any time to stick. And I felt like a scenario change was going to be right for him. And I think it ended up it's gonna do good for him in his NHL career for sure. And well, he can also kind of stop giving so many power play opportunities to the other team. So maybe this is gonna be a win-win for everyone.
It's definitely a little unusual that you see the three-way trades anymore. I mean, it seems to be a rarity in the NHL and AHL, you know, involving, you know, a few different teams. What I'm finding interesting is the trade for the Charlotte Checkers. I wonder if that really has more to do with their parent team than the AHL team. It sort of would sort of lean that way a little bit in my book there. But it's kind of interesting because a lot of these teams that are involved in these trades are teams that are kind of on the outside looking in right now. Florida, Anaheim, Detroit, some of those teams a little bit more than others, of course. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because a lot of those pieces are, you know, bubble NHL, should they, shouldn't be pieces. They're kind of looking at new homes here, new opportunities really here too. I mean, we haven't seen Michael Delzato really get a chance up in the NHL with the Panthers just yet. Maybe he's going to get that in Anaheim with their collection of players they've taken off of waivers from everybody else. You know, just there's just a lot of potential there, and it just kind of intrigues me a little bit because it feels like it's a lot of equal players and, you know, similar kinds of situations and footing all getting swapped around. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because if you're an AHL team, I say it's kind of hard to see how those chips fall at this point. You know, does it force a guy to come down or a guy to go up? You know, will you have those guys or will you won't? It's kind of a interesting footing to be on for to be those teams for sure.
Well, according to Eric Stevens, who covers the Ducks and the Los Angeles Kings too for The Athletic, he is reporting that Michael Delzato will be reporting to San Diego. And interestingly enough, this is Michael Delzato's third time in that organization in under 4 years. So it's a player that they know quite well. But how this whole trade came about, I have no idea. Yeah, it's just an ultra rare three-way deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's rare at the NHL level, let alone, you know, with AHL, basically bubble players. So
Delzato's been around for so long. I thought he was in his late 30s. He's 32.
Oh, geez.
Wow. I still think of him from his days with the Flyers back in, like, you know, and that's been more than half a decade at this point, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you said, you just think he's a lot older, and he's really not. He really isn't.
Right. And so, yeah, I think coming into an Anaheim squad that I kind of really could use, especially with the loss of Getzlaf, could use kind of a veteran presence. I wouldn't put it past him that give him some time down there in San Diego and he could eventually find, maybe make his way up. It feels like something that, you know, Florida kind of felt like they were trying to do a player right, to maybe not be the happiest with this situation in Charlotte. And obviously he's comfortable in that organization because, well, you know, here we go, the third time's the charm. And hey, you know, hopefully it works out for him. Hopefully he can get the opportunities to succeed, because San Diego is kind of a tough go at the moment.
I mean, and this isn't even like a cap thing, because they all were at that league minimum, $750K. So it wasn't even like a cap space move or anything like that. But I will say all of the memes on Twitter and about Michael Delzato being a Red Wings legend and how they're going to miss seeing him with the winged wheel and all that. Anytime that kind of thing happens where a player is immediately flipped and those memes come up, I love it. Please keep that going, guys. I love it.
There you go. That could be my jersey idea for Christmas. A Michael Delzato Red Wing jersey.
Yeah. Get right on that. I have it on good authority that he is at least an awesome DJ in the locker room. So definitely a story to keep an eye on, see if that kind of sparks life into these teams or into these players. So, all right, we're just going to keep right on trucking along. And we do have an update on our Wheel of Fate. All right, so if you remember last week, we had a re-roll-a-thon here on the Holy Grail with our Wheel of Fate teams. And wouldn't you know, it actually worked. So I had two re-rolls. I rolled for a defenseman and my goaltender. Sorry, Andrew, but I had to get rid of my Grand Rapids goaltender.
Yeah, UC wasn't the best.
And that moved me up from last place to third place. And there's just been some jockeying here. So latest standings as of about 9 o'clock Eastern on Monday, December 19th, Corey is still in the lead, surprise, surprise, with 501.5 points. So he's the first player to reach that 500 mark. In second is Zach with 472 points. I'm in third with 461.25. Andrew, 440.25. And Jeremy bringing up the rear with 409.5 points. But since Andrew wasn't here last week, he has now decided that he wants a reroll. And while I pull up our wheel, maybe he can tell you just a little bit about that decision.
Yeah, it's going to have to be for Billy Heinola, and it's not for any lack of production. I mean, yeah, the defender over there in Manitoba has only put up 6 assists in his last 4 games. Only problem is that since November 13th, he's played in 2 games for the Moose, and now he's up there taking power play role with the Winnipeg Jets. Same building, different team. Unless those points apply to this level as well, I'm going to have to take a spin on the wheel because my guy that I was expecting to power play quarterback my squad is not there anymore.
So you are doing a complimentary reroll then?
Yeah.
Sounds like, okay.
It's a call-up roll.
All right, any team you're looking for potentially?
Not Hartford or Lehigh Valley, please. Okay. I would like to at least diversify my crop.
I get it. All right, let's give this a spin.
Not San Diego. Bridgeport. Okay, all right. Well, let me not the most familiar,
got some solid options there, I think.
Yeah, I think so. There we go. We got former Griffin All-Star Jenis Chalowski, who hasn't scored a goal yet. Good for him.
Hershey Bears legend Dennis Chalowski. They actually had a jersey of his that was never used that you could have bought at the Hershey Bears Authentic sale a couple of weeks back.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, like, that's one they definitely prepared in the event that he cleared waivers and joined the Bears. I was surprised they had one like that there, to be honest with you. They had some interesting little gems there.
Yeah.
Andrew, I just realized with this move, your entire team is Atlantic Division.
Yeah. I love doing these rerolls and getting teams that I already have. I have Chris Terry. I doubled up Louis Belpedio, Cal O'Reilly, had CJ Smith and Louis Domingue.
Well, you could use one of your 5 and go ahead and just roll again and pray for a better outcome.
Wait, so you already have Chris Terry on your team?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's a couple of good picks on there. I'd be willing to gamble on just as an Atlantic Division guy myself.
I'm looking here, and Sammy Bolduc is tied for 3rd on team scoring from the blue line.
That -6 is gonna really hurt you, though.
Yeah, he's. But you know, I mean, could also go the other way, and they could score more goals. They could be. I mean, You know, he's kind of an outlier. There's not a whole lot of other big minuses on that squad. You know what? We're just going to make things interesting, and we will roll the dice. It's nothing against Sammy Bolduc, but...
Okay.
I want to keep it interesting.
So we're going to
hope I don't get, like, San Diego.
A double reroll. This is a first.
It's a first.
Holy Grail first. Milestone alert if I wasn't busy doing something else. So, okay. Let's see. Can we get out of the Atlantic Division for Andrew? Let's go, Wheel.
Here comes Wilkes-Barre.
Chicago.
Okay. Well, there goes that plus minus.
Sorry.
No, I mean, it is what it is. And now that I'm here, we're going to have to well, I like Anthony Honka's skill set. I don't like that he's minus 14. I like the sturdiness of Max Lajoie. I don't like that he's minus 11. So I'm going to go with Willie Lagesson. And hopefully that now that they have Ryan Suzuki and, you know, maybe a little bit of momentum after coming out with a couple wins and they're actually like on a win streak now, like, hey, maybe the squad's gonna turn the old ship around here.
That is a smart move. And just looking at the points between Honka and Lagesson, you know, Honka's got 11 points, Lagesson's got 8 points, but that plus minus, a minus 14 versus a plus 7. Yeah, even though Honka's got a power play goal, with the way our fantasy lineup is set, that 14's going to hurt a bit. So, in my mind, good decision, Andrew.
Yeah, but he doesn't have nearly as many points as Sammy Bolduc, and I'm kind of like, I think Bridgeport's going to be scoring a bit more than Chicago, but hey, we'll see. He'll be snapping some outlet passes to Ryan Suzuki now, so maybe it's different.
I know there's this is a little bit of a depth choice, a little bit on Bridgeport. I was just looking over their stats, and one of the guys, I remember him mainly just because he's seemed to score a couple of goals against the Bears earlier this season, but Vincent Sveiny, I hope I'm saying that right, from Bridgeport, he's a rookie. I think he would have been a good depth choice, honestly. He's only got 12 points, but he's plus 7. I think that's one of the top marks next to Parker Weatherspoon on defense there. Mm-hmm. I really liked him when I saw him. He seemed to have a nose for some offense there. I mean, only 12 points and he's a rookie. So, I mean, there's definitely some room to grow there, certainly. But that was kind of one where I was like, man, I wish I could have thought to recommend that in time for you, honestly.
Well, you know, I kind of like having a guy who's from the beat. It gives me another reason to hope for success for these guys and at least something that's been better than what they've been giving me so far for the first couple months of the season. So... I like the diversity of the teams. I hate having doubles here and there. It's like my fantasy hockey teams. If I have too many teams on one side, I need to make a move. So, you know, having two Phantoms and two Islanders, it just wasn't going to sit well for me. So I not the best pick in Lagesson, but we're going to have to press on.
Well, with your updated roster, you now have 433 and a quarter points. Still good for fourth, but you did drop 7 points. But
well, yeah, at least I'll be getting points.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. A temporary setback, but, you know, like you said, you will be getting points. So in the end, you'll come out on the good side, I'm sure. Now that we got that out of the way, it's time to look back as we discuss the AHL year in review. In this, we're just going to kind of have an open discussion here, talk about everything, or at least the big stories in the American Hockey League over the last year. And I think just right off the top, we got to talk about yet another year without an All-Star Classic.
Yeah, that was tough, especially, well, I mean, I would have seen a lot of Wolves in there for sure, at least Potsy and Nason, and, you know, the rest might have been debatable, but We felt like we were kind of trending in the right direction, the beginning of the season, and everything was kind of like, you know, we were sitting there waiting with bated breath, like, okay, it seems like we're kind of feeling like we're going back to normal. It wasn't that long ago, but it feels like it was years ago when those waves of COVID cases came through at the end of 21 and at the beginning of 22, that just, it felt like, oh no, here we go again. And, you know, had a couple postponements. You know, the Wolves really struggled early on there, but the league managed to kind of go through that. I mean, the All-Star game was the only real big casualty to come out of it. There wasn't any like mass cancellations of games or anything that I was like, I didn't want to, you know, be all doom and gloom about it, but in the back of your head, you're like, what's going on? What's going to happen here? So even though we kind of had the equivalent of some beer league goalies being thrown in there for the Wolves, you know, they performed well, they played well, and, you know, luckily everyone got healthy. And I mean, by even, you know, before season's end, it kind of felt like it was already a season or two in the rearview mirror, even though it was just a couple months away.
Yeah, it really seems like, and we were going to talk about, you know, COVID still being a thing in 2022, but I guess it kind of lumps all in with this. It really seemed like the bulk of it kind of got out of the system at the, like, this time last year. I remember when the Monsters at one point, I had talked to somebody in their camp, and basically the entire team, about 17 people at one point, were down with it towards the middle to end of December. And they had some games that were canceled or postponed. And that's when they started their down slide into the bottom of their North Division. And I mean, unfortunately, you know, that's what, 2 years in a row that there wasn't an All-Star game. But good news, the All-Star game is officially a go for Laval here in a little over a month. So we all have that to look forward to, and just keep it tuned here to Field Pass Hockey, because we're going to have, knock on wood, if everything goes good, we're going to have a team up there in Laval bringing you coverage live. So, but
yeah, I mean, yeah, it is interesting, because, like, to me, I always kind of get tripped up with the years, because it feels like, you know, 2020, it almost felt like we really didn't have hockey. Obviously, we did. We had, you know, basically 2 months and some change on it, basically, before everything really got canned. And it's kind of weird to just remember that the All-Star game, the last one we had, was really thrown into there in some ways, you know, over, and I guess that was in Ontario, if I'm not mistaken, you know, home of the rain and all that stuff. But it's kind of odd to consider. And like you guys said, like, this time last year, I know the Bears had just come off of that big old COVID pause for 2 weeks. It felt like an eternity. You know, they were playing with varying degrees of their normal roster, and there's a lot of guys that were just stepping up, and, you know, you were just trying to, you're just at certain points, you were just sort of like, wow, I'm at least just grateful we're playing hockey and we're still allowed to go to the games. And, you know, we were just trying to make it through at that point with the way restrictions were and stuff. Like, you know, of course, with it being up in Canada, it's a little more so in a sense, you know, it was just too hard to really imagine. So it was kind of, you know, it's kind of nice that we're, you know, making it through. I know, you know, when we hit Black Friday and beyond, a lot of Bears fans were crossing their fingers in a sense to hope that it wouldn't happen again type of thing. And it hasn't. And it's been, you know, much better. It's been more, you know, flu related stuff than anything, honestly. So it's good to be a little bit beyond it and be able to say, hey, we got this All-Star game coming up, and doesn't look like there should be any reason that it won't happen this year.
And then we're going to turn right into, I guess this is a little bit more of a deep topic, which we have talked, unfortunately, way too much about. But, you know, there were some scandals this year in involving American Hockey League teams. I mean, we continue to hear more about the civil lawsuit being filed against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins against and also former AHL coach Clark Donatelli about some sexual assault allegations on Aaron Scaldi. So there was that to talk about. And then, of course, here lately, we talked about a former, I believe, athletic trainer or a former staff member, I guess we could say for certain, with the Bakersfield Condors and how all of that came about. And just in the hockey world in general, a lot of victims came out this year, and it kind of put a really important focus on hockey culture in general.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing obviously you want to see that, and I've spoken at length of how disheartened it's made me to read stories like this and the resulting fallout. But I think as I look back on the year, to kind of try and put as positive a spin on it as I possibly can, is that and you got to assume that incidents like this happened in years past and it was just kind of swept under the rug or wasn't even was deemed not even worthy to talk about, or the victims not have the courage to speak up, and if they did, they're just brushed to the side. Whereas now, yes, there's a lot of cases and it feels overwhelming and it feels that like there, there's this crushing thing at your chest every time you talk about it. But the fact that it's even being discussed and being talked about and brought up in the open, and we're having this discussion about how we change things, how, we change the culture, how we create these spaces where you're not in any danger of having yourself being violated in any sort of way, at least that's an improvement, I guess. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, well, it's tough to put to think, of a positive spin on such an awful situation. But, at the end of the day, it's all about how we can be better and how we go forward doing right by the people that were done wrong in the past.
Yeah. And you talked a little bit about it with changing culture and, attitudes and stuff. And, I do believe that, it's hopefully a case where it's happening more than where it's not happening, but, there's a lot of repercussions that come from these things. Now you see a lot of, a lot of people, being challenged and, players are now seeing, how it happens when it goes, when it comes out and, how society is right now. I'm trying to think of the right way to approach the words for this. And it's, all that sort of stuff. It's a little tough, but that you have to, the players today, if that thing's going on, or, if it happened when they were in juniors or, wherever, that, it's got to change. It's got to start when these guys are young kids, type of thing. Cause we've seen a lot of different cases where it starts back then. Now these guys are pros, and, seemingly it takes a lot for folks to learn a lesson that, that they desperately need to in a lot of ways. And, whether it's, listen, like, everybody has a little bit of a different upbringing. Everybody, has, different circumstances. There's a lot of differences there, but, when you're playing hockey, that's gotta be a day one type of thing, where it's a culture and it's an expectation. And, we've seen instances, like you mentioned earlier, about coaches where, coaches have been taking the brunt of it in a sense. And, where you find out where, just basically you're finding different areas where different people are getting caught, so to speak. It's up and down the lineup, so to speak, with, or from an organizational perspective. And it really has to start with those guys, and it has to work its way down, right? Like, it's got to be like a top to bottom thing where everybody's buying in, everybody understands it too. So I think that although there's been, like Andrew said, to, try to look at it in a positive way, hopefully it's trending in a better direction. But, every time you see an instance like that in Wilkes-Barre, or, some of the more recent ones we talked about, is disheartening and is frustrating, as both a fan of hockey and, a fan of sports in general, this sort of stuff still happens and you still find out about it.
If nothing else, it's giving people hopefully the confidence and the power to speak up, not only as a victim, but if they are seeing something or if they hear something. And that way, you know, hopefully that's also empowering organizations, whether it's leagues or just teams or even just coaches, to make changes within their own organization, within their own players, to hold them accountable and to teach them how to approach different situations and just be good people.
Okay. Exactly. That's kind of the end of the day story for it, is that, you know, the stereotype with hockey players tends to be that, you know, they're real quiet. They're real, you know, they're not the loudest people in the world type of thing. But the fact is, a lot of these things, you know, happen kind of quietly too. You know, you've seen a lot of different instances of that same thing. So it's really got to be, you know, for, you know, again, it's just got to be a top to bottom change that needs to happen. And it needs to, you know, I think some of these junior, you know, leagues and areas, you know, hopefully they can play a role in that too, because that's where a lot of these, you know, players really get shaped when they're coming up too, is, you know, and it's a big responsibility. I get it. You know, you're thrust into a role where you're suddenly taken from your, not taken, but, you know, you leave your family at a, you know, an age where I know I certainly wouldn't have been very comfortable leaving home and, you know, really thrust into the professional spotlight, so to speak, pretty early on. So it's like you said, I think it's got to start at the top and it's got to, you know, be a thorough change too. I think thorough is the big thing too.
And then next on our list of the year in review, this happened pretty early on in the year on January 31st. The American Hockey League announced the passing of one of its greatest players, literally of all time, in Mike Nicoluk. One of the most talented playmakers to ever skate in the league. He was one of the most productive point getters, you know, 50 years after his retirement at that time. I'm not sure if this still stands, but he still ranked third on the league's all-time list. Again, 50 years after he retired, he was still third with 668 assists, sixth with 881 points, and fifth with 1,069 games played. And then he was a member of the second class of inductees into the American Hockey League Hall of Fame back in 2007.
There's not too much more that you can say about Mike Nicoluk other than he's, you know, a Hershey Bears legend for, you know, yep, a number of reasons. He's synonymous with the Bears. I mean, you know, he you know, just absolutely, like, you know, his number 8's in the rafters at Hershey, and that's a hard honor to earn. I mean, we're seeing it with Chris Bourque's number going up there. You know, pretty early on next year when the calendar year starts off there. But, you know, that's a tough honor to earn in Hershey. I mean, you know, there's really, for as storied of a franchise as they are, like, there's not a lot of banners up in the rafters at Giants Center. And so for his to be up there, you know, is, you know, awesome. Absolutely awesome. He spent 14 years of his time in Hershey. And, you know, again, for the Bears, to me, it's just one of the things where, you know, 85 years, there's a lot of stuff with the Bears, right? Like, there's just so much there. And, you know, the fact that, you know, kind of keep coming back to him in so many ways is just, you know, it's hard to put into words, honestly. Obviously, it was way before my time. I never got to watch him play in his prime or anything like that. But, you know, the records and the stats and all that, it speaks for itself in a lot of ways. And, you know, it was a tremendous loss. You could feel it. You know, it was at the Giants Center when they had a, you know, the ceremony for him and stuff like that. Like, it was a pretty tough moment, honestly.
I feel like Corey's way more qualified to speak on him than I am, so I'm just gonna defer to everything he said and just ditto it.
Yeah, and I mean, he showed up in the playoffs too. I mean, 112 career AHL games in the playoffs with 78 points. I mean, talk about a producer. But he was on that inaugural Rochester Americans team in 1956-57, followed that up with another season with the Americans, and then from 1958-59 all the way to 1971-72 with that Hershey Bears team out in Pennsylvania. And Yeah, just what a legend, what a loss. And our hearts still continue to go to all of his friends, family, and everybody associated with the Bears that had the chance to be with him in his prime. So we're going to just kind of shift gears again, and we're going to talk about the Chicago Wolves going in a matter of a few months from the highest of highs as I almost said Stanley Cup. Wow, I have NHL on the brain right now. I'm following a couple games right now. But the Calder Cup champion Chicago Wolves to now not looking like a repeat there. Just a lot going on out in Rosemont.
Yeah, I mean, at the onset of 2022 was, you know, it was all Wolves all over the place. And they, you know, dominated through the Central Division on the way to the top number one seed. They ran roughshod through the playoffs. They lost a single game in regulation throughout the whole postseason. And I mean, it was the perfect storm. They had all your veteran leaders that you could ask for with Podorolski, and then you had NHL vets and Steph Nason and Josh Levo, Alex Lyon. I mean, it was, and then you infused those vets with a core of just talented young players like Jack Drury and Jameson Reese and Vasily Ponomarev. It was a lot of fun to be on the beat last season for sure. But that's just the nature of this league, is that, you know, with success, there comes a price to pay afterwards. You know, every NHL roster is going to be like, well, we want a guy like Potts in our system. We're going to take him here in the offseason. Levo is like, I want my shot at the NHL. St. Louis is going to give me a good look here. I'm going to go ahead there. Steph Nason signs a new deal with Carolina, makes the Hurricanes. Jalen Chatfield makes the Hurricanes. Jack Drury started in Chicago, now on the Hurricanes. Pyotr Kochetkov was huge. I think he lost a single game in regulation all season last year. Granted, he spent a lot of time up there with Carolina, but he was an absolute monster in this league from day one. You know, he set the tone, and when he took a hit from Iowa and got up barking at the entire bench in a language that he didn't even understand. And that was probably my favorite part about the whole thing. But he's been, I mean, we've seen what he's doing up there in Carolina. He's already getting discussions in the Calder voting. So if you ever have to wonder what he brings to the table, there you go. And when you lose just that volume of talent, experience, I didn't even mention the fact that, oh yeah, their head coach, he's gone too. And so you have a new young coach who's coming in kind of learning the game, along with a lot of young players that are coming in and learning the pro game here at this level. And it's a trial by fire, man. There's nothing easy for, like, okay, well, you're going to kind of get your feet wet. It's like, no, here you go. Here's, you know, the Iowa Wild coming at you on the forecheck, and you have to learn on the fly, basically. And if you can't tell, the Wolves, they're going through their growing pains right now. And it's a little different being on the beat this year than it was last year, but I'm still here. I'm still talking about them. I'll still pump their tires as much as I can, and I will. They've won two in a row. But yeah, that's like I said, that's suffering from success. That's the Chicago Wolves.
And it's impressive. You talk about, you know, they're suffering from success. I mean, you know, obviously the train didn't come to the station in Chicago with the Carolina organization right away. I mean, this is them kind of parlaying their success from the last time we could have playoffs with the, you know, Charlotte Checkers kind of coming over there. Just a lot of those pieces kind of came from over on that side. And looking at it from the opposite side of the spectrum with, you know, following the Thunderbirds all the way up to their run to the Calder Cup Finals, you could tell that the Wolves were just an absolutely different beast to the Thunderbirds to handle, that they weren't ready for in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, you give the Thunderbirds a lot of credit. They're suffering from the same kind of, you know, almost championship hangover to a degree this season. You know, some of their guys are hurt, some got promoted. You know, it's been a mixed bag so far. But, you know, you could just tell that, you know, after all the success, even after, you know, riding the high of beating the, you know, high-flying Laval Rocket in seven games, that not that they hit a wall, because, I mean, they came out and they won the first game. But, you know, you could just tell that towards as that series went on, they just couldn't contend with them the same way. It was hard to watch as a, you know, guy who was suddenly thrust into being a Thunderbirds diehard all of a sudden there too, for sure, to, you know, to see that and kind of, you know, kind of have that realization partway through the series, you know, this may be too big of a hurdle. And it just, you know, like you said, they were just massively impressive that postseason.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like the Chicago Wolves over the entire course of the 2021-22 season. And then, of course, that postseason was just one for the ages in my mind.
Yeah, the series with Stockton is always going to go down for me. That might be my, like, if you're going to give me the calendar year of games to pick from, that, you know, you had the overtime game one and Jameson Reese's electric winner. In game two, you had Josh Levo scoring with 17 seconds left. Game three, Alex Lyon shutout. And then they turn around and Stockton wins two games of their own in dramatic overtime. So now as it's 0-0 heading into the third period, you're thinking in your head, like, oh man, are they about to force game seven? And then it's Ivan Lodnia was one of the most unsung heroes of that team. I mean, and he's been injured all season and hasn't had a chance to contribute to the lineup, and that's been really unfortunate for him. But that was just an incredible series of hockey. Even when Chicago's up 3-0, there was just such a paper thin margin between the Wolves and the Heat, and which is why I was so big on the Wranglers wagon, and I still am big on the Wranglers wagon to win this year, because, well, losing Matthew Phillips, okay, but they're kind of still just rolling along. They still got Dustin Wolf. They still have the makings of that team that went toe-to-toe, punch-for-punch with the Wolves in that Western Conference final. So I had a bit of nerves in that series, but it was a lot of fun. I was glad to just be a part of it.
I was trying to think of a good transition to go into this next point, and I'm coming up with nothing. So we'll just go ahead and say it. You know, you were talking about that Stockton series. Well, they did have, or the fans used that as their official goodbye to the Stockton Heat, as the Calgary Flames moved their AHL affiliate from California up to Calgary. Now, both the Flames and the Calgary Wranglers, I almost said Calgary Heat because that was suspected for so long, but the Calgary Wranglers not only sharing a province, but they share a city and an arena. Mm-hmm. And just a note from Zach Power here. He wants to know, can we leave that Stockton ice in 2022? Thank you. I agree.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree on that one. That looked painful to watch. I don't know what it was like to skate on. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, again, kind of one of those bittersweet things, because the fans in Stockton, they didn't really, I mean, it's just the nature of the business and the nature of the beast here. And it's another thing about COVID. I think a lot of teams really sought having their affiliates right next door or even in-house, as we see here in Calgary and in Winnipeg. You know, Vancouver had theirs thousands of miles away in Utica and New York, and now it's right down the road in Abbotsford. And now you're seeing, you know, Stockton moving over to Calgary. It's no fault of the fans or anything in Stockton, no matter how bad your ice is. I mean, you brought the passion and it was great. It's just, I think it's just the way that this league has been evolving here. And, you know, I was always wondering, like, is Bakersfield going to be the next one? Cause they're another one of those California teams, but you have an affiliate that's across the border. And again, that was such a big deal during COVID, but now that things have, you know, maybe kind of normalized a little bit, maybe, I mean, they just, it's a different situation, different, you know, different feelings, different way of going about it. So probably not, but that was always kind of in the back of my mind. And it's tough for Stockton, you know, that I believe they had an ECHL team in there before the Heat came in, right? Or am I just making stuff up on the podcast? Either way, and now you know that if there's an empty feeling in the arena, maybe they will fill it up with another team, but it's probably going to be a long 2023 in Stockton, California.
Yeah, and it's kind of a shame because you think when I think of Stockton, I usually think of like you know, kind of what happened with the Manchester Monarchs, right? Where they were, you know, around for, you know, a good few years there. And, you know, I can't remember the exact amount of time they were there. It felt like forever, to be honest with you. And, you know, they at least went out on top before they, you know, had to pack their bags and head across the country more or less to, you know, become the Ontario Reign. And it is a shame. I'm not sure what Manchester has right now in terms of a hockey team. I know they were trying to, you know, court a couple of different teams or leagues to, you know, kind of fill the void. And, you know, it's sad is it's, you know, whenever I think of like the AHL, like, especially in my early days, I always think of like some of the old teams that aren't around anymore, like Manchester, like Binghamton, like, you know, the Albany River Rats and some of the teams that we've lost along the way that are, you know, certainly some memorable franchises. I'm all for teams having, you know, more unique names rather than just being, you know, we all know these Sound Tigers, the Islanders renaming change that nobody really wants to go by. I think when they play still getting used to it to a certain degree there too, in a lot of ways, but you know, and I'm kind of off topic a little bit here, but you know, you kind of feel for the fans of Stockton. They got at least one really good playoff run out of the deal. I know their attendance figures were not anything to be amazed by certainly, but you know, it's, you know, getting to the, as even as far as the conference finals is special, you know, there's, I say that as Bears fan where we've, you know, basically going on 7 years between trips to the Calder Cup finals or really even beyond the second round in a sense, but it just kind of goes to show how hard it is really to get to that point. So I feel for their fans. I'm glad they got, you know, one good playoff run, but like with the ice, I just don't think it was meant to be, honestly.
Well, California is definitely not hurting for hockey right now because with the departure of Stockton, they gained a new team in the Coachella Valley Firebirds after so much planning and teasers and everything. It was a busy year for Coachella Valley as they went from Palm Springs to be announced to, again, the Coachella Valley Firebirds, making so many moves over the summer, naming their first head coach and Dan Bylsma, naming their assistant coaches, which we had Jessica Campbell on earlier on this season. So if you want to check that out, I'll leave a card up in this corner so you can go check out that episode. There's from announcing jerseys to frantically trying to finish their arena, which they finally got to play a game in their home arena this past weekend. It was a busy year for that organization, and the AHL officially welcomed them, and the team not doing too shabby so far.
Don't forget that awful promotion they did before the home opener where they mimicked Russell Wilson's cringy his little cheer where he says he does it. I can't even do his voice because it's so like it's
I don't so know out this. There
that Broncos country, that's Rod. And then they did the same thing for the Firebirds, and I was like, okay, like maybe if Denver was successful this year in the NFL, like that's one way to go about it. Have you looked at what has been going on with that team? I don't know if that's the team that you want to emulate, even if it is a giant hilarious meme on the internet. So, it's just like I was watching it, and I was like, no, Potsy, no, don't do that.
I missed this.
I swear I thought I shared it on the Discord, and I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't remember seeing this either, honestly.
Oh, man.
This is... it just sounds cringe, but I kind of need to see this as I frantically scroll through.
I might have just put it in the AHL general.
As you can tell, we have quite a few different chats that we are all involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of memes are shared. A lot of posts are shared. Okay, here it is. Let me see if I can't pull it up here on the podcast. I am fascinated.
Firebirds country, let's fly.
Let's fly.
Fly.
That little point at the end.
Yeah. So if you go back to that tweet quickly, just for one quick second, there's one more part of that whole thing that just makes it a complete disaster.
Oh no. Yes. Oh no, I see it.
You see the hashtag? That hashtag is for an NBA team.
It's for the Charlotte Hornets.
Oof.
So, oh no.
It's not even the right corresponding sport that's been hashtagged on there. It was just we're going to let it slide because they're the new kids on the block and, you know, they're learning their way around. But that was a tough tweet to look at.
We will give them a pass on this because they are new.
Yes.
They're the babies. It's okay.
Everybody gets one.
I can't get over that. I mean, at least the colors work. With the parent club, it does.
You know, if you think about
the Charlotte Hornets and then like the colors with the Seattle Kraken, it does. But oh gosh, who approved that? Oh, that's just.
It was doomed from the start. As soon as you're like, let's try and be like Russell, it was doomed from the start.
Well, we're going to kind of keep on with that color scheme there with the greens and the blues. And we're going to stay in California as we move to San Jose, who got a new tank for this season. They're moving out of the home. What is that? The SAP Center, where their parent club, the San Jose Sharks, played. And they are now in what is described as the crown jewel of a new development there in Silicon Valley, in San Jose. And they have a brand new state-of-the-art arena, only 4,200 seats, though, but TechCU Arena is open, and San Jose Sharks have a new home.
And San Jose Barracuda have a new home.
And the San Jose Barracuda have a new home.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Charlotte Hornets, let's fly.
It was definitely needed. I think they kind of needed to get out of the shadow of last season. I mean, sheesh, that was the way that they ended that year. Oh, Lord. I don't know. I think that was probably the biggest losing streak of the 2022 calendar year, if I had to guess, right off the top of my head. But, you know, I think they're at least competitive this year. They have their own new barn. It looks beautiful. The team looks better. They have one of my favorite goalies in the league now because Carolina said, we have too many goalies. We got to trade them. Yep, that's shout out to your fantasy team there, Dina. And Jalen Smerick just played his 10th game for the Barracuda the other night, so... I'm not saying anything, but I think he might be here to stay. I'm not calling it right now, but I think he might be here to stay.
Honestly, good for him though.
Absolutely. Working his way back from the Phoenix I guess it was Phoenix when he started there, so I wouldn't be totally remiss when I say the Phoenix organization, but the Arizona Coyotes organization. And now hopefully getting a working his way through the coast and now getting a full-time gig there in the A. We like to see it.
And then I'll leave. If you want to listen to our interview with him, hey, we're just hitting all of the up-and-comers here. There will be a card up in the corner again for that that interview. So we're going to talk about a single affiliation change, I think, that happened this calendar year. Charlotte was a dual affiliate with the Florida Panthers and the Seattle Kraken, and then with the forming of the Coachella Valley Firebirds and them officially beginning play, that dual affiliation ended, sending a few top players out to Coachella Valley and just staying within the Seattle Kraken organization. They also lost one of the assistant coaches in Dan Bylsma, which we already said he became the first head coach of the Coachella Valley Firebirds. And then we had some big names this season too, or we've also had some big names in this calendar year that have retired. Rich Clune, just within the last day or two, Andrew Hammond announced his retirement, and Cody McLeod also retired earlier on this year. So just legendary names in the game, in the league, for one reason or another. But still, big names.
We'd also be remiss to not mention Matt Molson's official retirement coming at the end of last season, too. You know, former Bears captain, still a little pretty bittersweet. I mean, he did a ceremonial puck drop earlier this season. He's been around Hershey, I think, a little bit more because of his son's travel team and, you know, some other things there. But it was a little bittersweet. You know, it was kind of a shame that basically throughout his entire tenure, the Bears really didn't get to contend for a Calder Cup kind of like they would have wanted to, I think. So, I mean, it was a little bittersweet as that was all 3 years of his tenure really impacted by that. I really should say the third season was, you know, when he had to have his ultimately career-ending back surgery. Technically, it was the tail end of last year, but, you know, it was very sad to, you know, kind of see that go by the wayside. A little bit of an era passing in Hershey over the couple of seasons there, for sure.
But there are some players that are still kicking around, and this season there were just so many PTOs from once dominant or at least regular NHLers, just to name a few: Alex Galchenyuk, Artem Anisimov, Eric Staal, Justin Abdelkader, come on, Ben Harper, Corey Conacher, Brandon Davidson, Devontae Smith-Pelly, Jason Demers, all playing on PTO contracts at some point during late 2021 going into 2022 or sometime throughout this calendar year. And a few of them, you know, riding those into full one-year contracts.
Eric Staal wrote it into an NHL contract. So it's crazy seeing the names that were on here. It was really fascinating around that time of the Olympics to see. I mean, I got the chance to interview Abdelkader as he's coming through the Griffins for a couple of games to kind of get in shape for that Olympic run over there, which didn't end quite so well for the Americans as I tried to call. I tried to manifest it. I'm sorry. I'm full red, white, and blue blooded. But it was incredible seeing Eric Staal going ham with the Iowa Wild for a couple of games there. And of course it was against Chicago because why wouldn't it be? But I mean, even now, you know, I had the chance to interview Alex Chiasson with the Grand Rapids Griffins. After 600 NHL games, he's on a PTO with the Griffins, trying to fight his way back into making it back up into the big leagues. And so when you see a lot of these guys that, you know, sign these deals, I know the easy reaction is be like, oh, he's washed, you know. Look at Eric Staal is what near, he's got to be near 40, right? If not, he's up there. And so for him to kind of take that PTO, play those couple games, and then turn it into an NHL contract, and then again playing with another one of his brothers, one of the six Stahls that are out in the world today, this isn't the end of the road that everyone might seem to think that it is. Like, just because, oh, he's just got a tryout in the A, like, he's done. Like, no, this could be just the beginning for a lot of these guys.
Eric Stahl's my age. He's 38.
Well, I didn't mean to. I was trying to more go after him, not go after you, Dina. I'm sorry.
I didn't take it as that at all. I always think it's funny whenever people talk about, oh, they're so old, when they talk about athletes that are in their like mid to late 30s. And I'm just thinking, like, it's not really that old, but I get it. I get it. So, yeah, I don't take it as a slight or whatever. So, all right, now that we looked in the year that was in the American Hockey League, it is time now to unveil our end of year awards with the Grailies. We're just going to pick have a little bit of fun here. Basically, as one of our AHL editors, Deanna McFerrin, put, Field Pass Hockey presents, you're gonna feel God in this Chili's tonight. Hence why I have the Chili's background. We're just gonna have a little bit of fun with this. But I guess I'm going to go ahead and lead this off. So first, and this is kind of an award that Zach Power brought up. Unfortunately, he and Jeremy couldn't be with us tonight as we round off this year in review. You know, it's close to the holidays. They're traveling. They're busy. I totally get it. Hey everyone, Dina checking in as I'm editing this. I have a quick correction to make for our first Grailey, where I talk about awarding it to the San Jose Barracuda for a not so stellar plus minus here in 2022. I apologize, but that actually goes to the San Diego Gulls, not the Barracuda. I got the San part right, but watch the rest of it. So my apologies. I guess if you're going to give me a Grailey, it's going to be, well, she's still an editor, but she sometimes needs fact-checking herself. So thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Let's get back to the show. The first Grailey is the We Did Way Too Much Math and Boy, These Aren't Good Numbers Award. And you might have guessed it, it's going to go to the San Jose Barracuda. When looking at plus minus, last season, the team was a combined minus 154. So far this season, their plus minus is a minus 203. And it's December. Only what? One player.
Wait, is that real?
I'm trusting Zach's numbers.
Is worse already than it was last year? Is that real?
Zach said only one player has a positive plus minus.
Axel
Anderson holds down the fort with a plus 8. I had to do way too much math to get the numbers from last year. It kind of annoyed me. So hence the We Did Way Too Much Math and Boy, These Aren't Good Numbers Award. Just ouch.
Oh my God.
See, some people say that plus minus is a meaningless stat. This is one of those situations where it is very meaningful and not in a good way.
Yeah, that it says a lot.
Last year, that can't be right for last year's. Okay, wait. Team was combined minus 154. That can't be right because I got three guys that already. Joachim Blichfeld was minus 47, tied with Artemi Niazov.
Don't tell me I did bad math. Plus, I spent way too much time on it.
That's two guys and they're already minus 94.
Oof.
Wait.
Oof.
Wait. Did I might have done bad math?
Okay.
I was gonna doing say, that like, for too long,
no
does that
way. Like, there's no
okay,
way.
Okay, so it was worse than 154. Somebody unless, was a 154.
Unless someone was like a plus 160.
You know, I might have been accidentally looking at San Diego now that I'm looking at San Diego's numbers.
Okay. I was gonna say none of that made sense.
We're going to double award this one now to the San Jose Barracuda and San Diego Gulls.
I'll take that.
There we go.
Because San Diego is San Jose levels of last year's San Jose levels of awful this year.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We averted crisis.
I about gave Andrew a heart attack. I'm so sorry.
I'm just like, I'm not a math guy, but none of this is making sense.
I'm not a math person, okay? That's the award I should get. I am forced to do way too much math as a managing editor, and I'm not a math person award.
Not a math person award.
Yep. And then I have one more, and it's we swear these people are actual real people and they do actually play hockey award. That's going to go to the Cleveland Monsters. Just, you know, poking a little bit of fun here. I mean, sure, every season, every organization has their fair share of call-ups, but none more so than the Cleveland Monsters. And some of these names, they just sound a little bit made up, but I know I'm assuring you they are real people here. So just today, Chad Yetman, Eric Dopp, just rounding out the rest of the calendar year, Brendan Miller, Darian Hansen, Jake Thu, Evan Moisey, Brandon Hawkins, Chris Snell, Dallas Gerads. And that's just the ones that I could find on a super quick search of my email inbox, because apparently I never delete emails. But that's just, you know, these are all PTOs.
That just sounds like you're playing EA Dynasty, and like in 6 years, you're just reading off the top 10 draft list. Like, those just all sound like EA created names. I refuse to believe that those people are real. I believe someone in Cleveland was just drafting people off the board and was like, yep, we're giving him a contract now.
I mean, though, I forget which player, but I did read that one of them is from Lewis Center, Ohio, which isn't far from where I am on the west side of Columbus. You just kind of go around 270, head up to 23 and just go north a little bit and you'll be in Lewis Center. So they're picking up someone close to home, but yeah, there's too many PTOs. I know I missed more. Like I said, just a super quick inbox thing. And Andrew, I swear these aren't made up people. But you know, there you go. These are apparently real people. And I was channeling my inner Steve Dangle when I was doing this. Like, the whole, if y'all watch the whole Teddy Bluger allowing goals to a guy with a made-up name, yeah, that was all going through my head as I was typing out this award.
Okay, the next award we have here is they deliberately did this to make Zach mad award, which is the AHL, the Cleveland Monsters, and the Charlotte Checkers for a 12:31 start time on 12:31. Come on now.
Zach, you are here in spirit. We are not doing this.
That will forever be a thing. But yeah, you cannot tell me that was deliberate. And they've heard Zach's rants on the show.
I feel like someone at the league office has to be listening. Are they doing it again? Do we know if they're doing it again?
What's that?
If they're having a game on 12:31, start at 12:31.
Yeah, that's where this whole thing came about, because the Monsters and Checkers are playing at 12:31. This year. And you best believe I'm going to do my best to get to that game. And I'm going to sit there with my phone. We have to drop at 12:31, and I will be mad if it doesn't happen.
You need to have a poster that says we are not doing this.
Just, I'll show up as a fan and I'll just raise it up.
put it in the glass for warm-ups. We are not doing this.
Dear league, we are not doing this.
Just put a picture of Zach underneath it that just says, we are not doing this.
It needs to be a shirt. That's all I'm saying. We have to get on that merch big time. Powers that be, if you're listening, let's do this. We are doing this. I
wear one every week. Yeah, that's one thing we would be doing is that, because I would wear that for every single show.
I'll have to. We've got to get on it, just saying. Mm-hmm.
So the next award we do have on here is the inanimate objects that made us laugh and cry, which is the Bic barbecue lighters and mayonnaise. We're flashing back to Zach trying to light a candle on the show and burning himself and wondering what the best remedy for it was and coming to mayonnaise. So it was an iconic moment from early on in the season. I believe that was in context to remembering the anniversary early on of the AHL app hack that would push the push notification debacle, I should call it. Yeah. From a couple of years ago that I still have the screenshots of.
I mean, it made us laugh. It made Zach cry a little bit. But for it to happen two seasons in a row, it deserved a Grailie.
I feel like he's almost got to do that every year now, right? Yeah. just sacrifices the feeling in his finger for a couple hours. He'll do it for the team.
When he comes down to the States later on in the season, we'll have more details on that as the time gets a little bit closer. You best believe I'm going to have to buy him, assuming he can take it back to Canada. I'll have to research that. One of those long-handled lighters. I don't think he'll be able to get it on a plane, but if not, I'll have it shipped to his house somehow.
You could settle for some mayonnaise for it instead.
I'll make some homemade mayonnaise. I actually know how to make that. So nice little gift. He'll come stay with me. It'll just be a thing of mayonnaise in his guest room.
Mayonnaise sandwiches for lunch. It's got to happen.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a bit of a Grailie here for us, and it's for I would say our best and most precious Swedish meatball award. And that's got to go to Jonathan Berggren. And even though his podcast appearance here was technically in 2021, but the carryover interviews that him and I had all season long in 2022, along with just the incredible hockey that he's laid out ahead of us, and him just being a general nice guy in general, and now being a fixture on the Detroit Red Wings attack, who is probably never going to be seen again here in Grand Rapids. Well, no meatball deserves any bigger award than you, Jonathan.
Here's your Grailie. And then we do have one, I guess we do have one more external Grailie, unless Andrew and Corey are holding out on me here, but it's the Golden Microphone Award. And that's going to go to all of our guests this year. And I apologize if I miss anybody, but we started off the year strong with Andrew Podorowski, moved right on into Trayfix Wolanski. Andy Mealy and Aaron Ness took their time to come talk to us before they headed off to Beijing for the Olympics. Will Bitten, Sam Minas, and Jack Drury all coming on during that Calder Cup finals run. Jessica Campbell, Scott Housen, Thomas Bordalo, Jalen Schmerich, Zach Fish, Mark Letestu, and Sam Wismer, along with multiple of our colleagues here at FPH. But you guys have really helped make our podcast so much fun to record here in 2022. And just great, great people, great interviews all around. So they get the Golden Microphone Grailie.
Well deserved, each and every one of them. I love having our guests on, no matter what corner of the sport that they come from. And it just helps kind of, diversify our pod. You don't have to hear my voice or Zach's voice or Jeremy's voice all the time. It's, it's good to get that insight. And, you know, this thing is impossible with all of them coming on and agreeing for a quick minute of their time. And I, you know, I just want to say to each and every one of them, I appreciate them all. And, you know, maybe 2023, we can have a couple of returnees. I'm looking at you, Potsy, but, yeah, well, we're going to start from this year. And it was a blast. Oh, we got to get him on before he gets that call up. Justice for Potts.
And then the guys don't know it, but I do have some internal Grailies here for my four co-hosts. And I'm just going to go in alphabetical order. So, of course, Andrew always leading us off. And I'm giving him the walking encyclopedia, Grayley, covering two B teams. He is such an expert on that central division. And there's been so many times where we just start talking about something random. And Andrew has an answer or something right there. Or you see him with agony on his face, just going, I should know this. I should know this. And then usually he ends up getting it anyway. So he's our walking encyclopedia. Moving on to Corey, I'm awarding the new kid on the block, Grayley. He came in just last season, you know, in the playoffs, comes in, you know, just as a guest to talk Atlantic Division. We turned that into a full-time gig for him on the podcast. And in my mind, amazing edition. So you get the new kid on the block, Grayley. I enjoyed, you know, their music, so it's no slight on the name or anything. It's all good there. And then for Jeremy, he's getting the Nomad, Grayley. This man has recorded in so many different cities this season, from his home in Grand Rapids to at least one city in Ohio. I believe he was in Chicago once. He was in Washington, D.C. I don't think any of us have recorded in as many different locations as Jeremy, not to mention his own office at work. So yeah, Jeremy's our Nomad, so he gets that, Grayley. And then I have the trendsetter, Grayley, for our very own Zach Power. You've seen the banners, you've heard us yell, we are doing this, we are not doing this. And of course, we already talked about the Bic lighters and the mayonnaise. He's just come up with so many different things that are now just kind of part of lore here at the Holy Grail. A true trendsetter. Plus, he always looks so nice when he comes on here. He's always got his tie going. In November, he has his poppy on. Just a trendsetter. All right. And with the Grayleys handed out for this, for the calendar year of 2022, we have one final bonus round. And Andrew, take us home.
All right. So this was inspired by one of my beats, kind of. So today, the Griffins announced that Sebastian Coso would be joining the team after a stint down in the coast with the Toledo Walleye. Now, I was first introduced to Sebastian Coso during the Traverse City Prospects Tournament in 2021. And my first reaction was, holy shnikes, this guy is really, really tall. And I think it's been on the trend for goalies lately to be really, really tall. And we see a lot of really tall goalies. I'm looking at you, Ben Bishop. But there is one mountain that rules them all. And I'm going to start off with a wild trivia guess, but he's kind of a ghost, so then I'll ask for a team afterwards. Do you guys know who the tallest goalie in the AHL was?
I wouldn't even know where to start.
You're talking currently or all time?
All time.
All time, wow.
And what did you say while Corey was
started in the Atlantic Division?
All-time goalies in the Atlantic Division. Yeah, that doesn't narrow it down for me at all.
Well, if you can, I was going to say, if you can nail the team, But I mean, that quite narrows it down. So if you'll give me a height, then we
7'1".
I was going to go more modest to be like 6'7" or something like that. 6'7" or 6'8".
So I will say back in 2012, 2013, and going all the way over to 2015, there was a goalie in the New York Rangers system. First of the Connecticut Whale, then of the Hartford Wolfpack. And his name was Jason Mission, who is spelled M-I-S-S-I-A-E-N. I wasn't sure how to pronounce it until I saw a video, and I was like, wait, Mission? That's it? But Mission Impossible stood at 6'8" before he got on his skates. He was a very tall boy. But that just goes to show you, just being tall doesn't really quite cut it, because if that was the case, I assume he'd be well on his way to a Hall of Fame career. But I looked it up here and there. There's a lot of 6'7", but no one kind of quite got just little that extra inch up. Jason was the only one to get his ups in. And so, yeah, I guess technically by the rules of things, Corey's going to be starting our 23 bonus round off. He did say 6'7 or 6'8. And 6'8, that's
I'll give it to Corey. Good job.
That's one of the weird things about those. Like, I feel like that's like, oh man, that's a tough question though, because it's like, you know, a lot of goalies are 6 foot. That's why I went with 6'8", because I'm like, I've seen a lot of 6'7", but I'm like, you know, has anybody really been like Zdeno Chara height type of thing? Like, I not that I could think of. It's odd because that's in my division, and like over time that I've watched the Bears, you know, play the Connecticut Whale / Hartford Wolfpack. I think those are the teams you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That does not come to mind at all, honestly. Yeah.
So there was a couple of interesting, real interesting trivia bits about Mission. And so he played for the 25 games for the Whale in 12-13, and then 14 games with the Wolfpack in 14, and then just another 5 in 14-15. By that point, I think they kind of, the experiment had kind of run its course at that point for the Rangers. But Mission played 4 seasons with the Peterborough Petes and Juniors, and then he played a season in the Q. How was that legal? Is that allowed? How is that a thing? I don't know why or how or when. And this, well, I know when, but. Yeah, he played for the Peterborough Petes from 2006 until 2010, and then he played a season with, I'm not French, so I'm not going to try and butcher the pronunciation, but Dracar in 2010 and 2011. Very, very odd situation, but he was really tall probably in juniors, and so... There's a really tall goalie in 2 junior leagues.
I can't believe I said 7'1". What the heck? Like, Chara's not even 7'1". Come on. 7'1" with skates. And blade protectors.
On skates, honestly, you might have nailed it on skates. But unfortunately, the listing doesn't
include skates.
It does not include it. So it's on a technicality, you're going to have to be disqualified from that one.
Well, Corey, you are rounding us out on a good note, and we will see what his bonus round is in the new year. And that's going to be it for the Holy Grail for 2022. Next week, we are going to be taking a break as we enjoy the holiday season and rest up for what's going to be an incredibly busy back half of the season with, you know, and like we said, in early February, we got the All-Star Classic. We have tons of games. We have an outdoor classic happening in Cleveland for the AHL and, of course, all the playoffs. Again, with another expanded playoff format, 2023 is going to be busy. So we're going to use that week to rest up and get ready for that to bring it all to you guys. But in the meantime, if you would like to see or hear more of us, please subscribe to us on our YouTube channel or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Also, follow us on Twitter at The Holy Grail. You know how it goes, GRAHL, or download the Field Pass Hockey app. You can check out Field Pass Hockey's other podcasts, Inside the SPHL with James Hayes. You have the Rolling Thunder podcast with Matthew Harding and Jason Mouse, all about the ECHL's Wichita Thunder with interviews from some of the team's legendary players. That's bi-weekly on Field Pass Hockey. And then Syracuse Speaks with Alexander Ackerman, of course, Syracuse Crunch-centric podcast. And then coming back sometime next month in January, you have Monsters Musings with Jeremy Paul and myself. On behalf of all of us here at the Holy Grail, we hope you have a wonderful holiday season. Be safe this New Year's, and we'll see you all in January. Bye.
This has been the Holy Grail Podcast. Have a question or topic suggestion? Hit us up on Twitter or drop us an email. For the latest news across the American Hockey League and the rest of minor league hockey, download the Field Pass Hockey app, now available in the Apple and Android app stores.